You're turning to the book of Mark this morning. It's good to be back with you. It's exciting to be back with you. And I'll tell you what, you guys have done a great job, and I appreciate so much what you've done. And in fact, it's a great job. It's a wonderful job. It's a marvelous job. But may I say this morning, it's just the beginning. You understand this morning, it has to go further. You understand this morning that if we are going to see anything happen for the Lord, I'm getting this all set up, okay? Power off, off, off. I'm cutting that on. And all right, are we on yet? We're not on.
They're both on.
Okay, both of them are now on.
Push the button, you got a red light.
I don't have a red light. Push the button, I don't have a red light. Okay. Take care of that young man, thank you. Devil's in the ear, amen. Are we started yet? One, two, test. Yes, we're there. Okay. Good. Sorry about that. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. All right. But we're just beginning. And I want you to understand that God is in the saving business. The fields are still white under harvest. And you can get busy and get God on your side. Amen. But I want to speak to you this morning on how you can reach the city of Zachary. Zachary, Louisiana. It's a good thing to have missionaries all over the world. It's a good thing to have missionaries in the United States of America. But it's also a good thing to reach your community. Amen. And there's people out there that are dying under the shadow of the steeple. And you need to understand, you need to reach those people. And just handing out a tract is not enough. It's got to go further than that. You've got to move forward than that. Listen, I'm telling you, man, it's an exciting thing. You know what? I learned something when I was fishing. As a professional bass fisherman, I always learned this. Set the hook. Then reel them in. It doesn't count unless they're in the boat. I mean, I set the hook on fish many a time, and I've had them come up out of the water and spit the hook back to me. Guess what? You can't eat an empty hook. And guess what? You can't train a disciple someone that's not caught and brought in. So we need to get busy about God's business. And I'm excited for you and I'm excited with you. Mark chapter 2, if you're there, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Very familiar story. The Bible says in verse number 1, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Now, it's an interesting thought here. And, of course, I like to think a little bit. Very little. Amen. But it's an interesting thought here that there's four people mentioned over in chapter 1, over there in verse 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew, and with James and John. And now we find four bearing this man over there that is fit with the palsy. And they're born of four. And verse 4 says, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto them, the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. It's interesting about these four men because you understand they went upon this house and they uncovered the shingles of this house and they let that man down where Jesus was. Now, how in the world did they know where Jesus was? And by the way, how in the world were they allowed to get on someone's house and tear the roof off unless the people down here knew who they were up there? Interesting four men mentioned in chapter number 1. So let me ask you a question. How in the world are you going to reach Zachary? What do you need to do to reach Zachary, Louisiana for the Lord? I'm going to help you learn a quick lesson, and I hope it will be a blessing to you. Let's make our prayer. Our Father and our God, we owe you everything. And there's nothing that we have that's not yours. And Lord God, there's nothing that'll take place in our life that you don't know about. And Father, the seed has been sown. Now, Father, I pray that you'd send laborers into the field to water that seed. And if you would, please, Lord, we desire fruit from that seed, and may it bring forth fruit. And may we see fruit not only in New Roads, Louisiana, but all over this city. Because the desire of your people is to reach more for your son. Father, help us to do what we can so you can do what only you can do. And we ask it in Jesus' name and faith believing. Amen, amen, and you may be seated. What are the prerequisites, if you would, for the people of Grace Baptist Church to reach the city of Zachary for the Lord Jesus Christ? How do we reach such a vast multitude of people with so few people in the church? How do we reach this city where there are many churches and many denominations and many so-called ideas of how to get to heaven? I figured it out. It's very simple. You follow God's plan. What is God's plan? Well, first of all, you need to get saved. Amen. You can't do anything for the Lord. You surely can't do any good work for the Lord until you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said, for the wages of sin is death. He said this, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus said that. He said, if thou shalt believe in thine heart the Lord Jesus and believe that he's died and that God has raised him again from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He said, listen, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness and with the mouth the confession is made unto salvation. In a very clear statement here and promise from God, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, we need to start believing that. You know, because you and I will lie to each other, but God cannot lie. And he said, if you'll do that, you'll get saved. And so we need to get saved. And then what should we do? Well, I'll tell you what, we need to get filled. The Bible says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, and both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and in unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He's talking about in your home, a city, in your state, in your nation, and all over the world. I love that. And we've got that power through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And the power of the Holy Spirit is given to us according to the Scriptures for one purpose. And that purpose is to be a witness. There's no other purpose. He comforts us. He guides us. He teaches us all things that Jesus taught. He teaches about Jesus, all things that he did. And Jesus began, according to Acts chapter 1, to do and to teach. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to do and to teach. Amen? So we need to get saved, and then we need to get filled. But then we need to get busy. Listen, we don't need to sit. We need to get. I mean, we need to get busy. Matthew 28:18-20 says, listen, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And then he goes on and says, go ye therefore, that's not a request, it's a command, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Amen. What is he saying there? He's saying it's time to get out and share what you've got within and get those people in so they can learn how to go out and share what they've got within with others without. So we need to get saved. We need to get filled with the power of God, and we need to get busy. So with all that said, and most of you knowledgeable of what was just said, let us study the story within the story this morning. Listen, a great multitude is gathered here together. It's a wonderful story that we see here. We see a story of faith and fervency. We see a story of friendship and favor. This is a story that includes a multitude of people, but focuses basically on six people, five really, when you begin to look at it, and the number one person would be Jesus. We read of a multitude that's gathered together here. Some are to be cured, but many are drawn by curiosity. You know what I figured out yesterday when we were preaching on the banks over there of the False River and going out and handing out tracts? People became curious of what we were doing. They thought, wow, what's going on here? Hey, listen, you light a fire, someone's coming. I mean, that's all you got to do is light the fire. Amen. I remember D.L. Moody used to take that book and he'd hide it under a crate. And he said, look out, there's dynamite. That's dynamite. It's dynamite. It'll blow up. People just gather around and see what's going on. They opened up with the Bible and said, well, that's not dynamite. Oh, he said, listen, when this thing explodes, it gets everybody. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, when you explode, you'll get everybody. I like staying over there at the hotel that God has me at, the Best Western. I thank Brother Steve Ward for allowing us to be there and allowing me to do my thing. Said, what's your thing? Talking? I know you couldn't tell. Amen? But I love to talk to people. And I was talking to one of his ladies behind the counter. I asked her where she went to church, and she told me. I said, you're going to heaven when you die? She said, I hope so. I said, wrong answer. Yeah. What'd you do? I exploded on her. I said, man, the right answer is you've got to know. The Bible says these things have been written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I said, you got to know it, my friend. You got to know it. And she said, I don't know it. I said, would you like to? And then I told her, I said, you know, I said, I want you to get some information up front here before we start. And she said, what do you mean? I said, I want you to know that I'll lie to you. And also that you'll lie to me. And fact is that everybody you know and everybody I know and all before me and all behind the pulpit today are liars. We lie to make ourselves look good. We lie to make sure everybody else doesn't blame it on us. But the fact of the matter is God does not lie. And I said, if He said it, He'll do it. And when I got to that point, we were in between customs. When we got to that point of asking her if she'd like to receive Jesus Christ and mean it, she had, I mean, she was there and she was locked in. The phone started to ring. It says, it'll have to wait, finish. I said, I did. And she got saved. Amen. And that's exciting stuff. But what were you doing? I was exploding. I'm going to tell you something, what you're going to have to do. Probably the least known name in as a church in Zachary is Grace Baptist Church. You haven't exploded yet. You haven't gotten on fire yet. But I'm telling you, when you start the fire, a fire, and the flame starts shooting up, and the sparks start exploding, something's going to happen here, and something's going to happen in that city. You got to get busy, amen. In the midst of what seems to be the thing of Jesus being there, we find people gathered together, and we are brought to the attention of these four men, who has it one on a stretcher. And they're carrying him to Jesus because it's important to them that their friend get help. Now, it was crowded over there. And you understand, it was not an easy job for these men to do the job they did. But what they were trying to do is do what they could so Jesus could do what only He could. They could not heal this man. They could not raise him up. They could not forgive him of his sins because the Bible says only God can do that. It's an amazing thing that was taking place here. And I want you to know it's a wonderful story. It's a wonderful story that we have here. It's a story that shows us how we can seemingly reach seemingly the unreachable here in this city. Now, as we go out to reach this city for the Lord in this next year, I'm asking God to give every one of you, every one family in here, another family that you can win to the Lord and then put under your little wing and grow them in Christ so next year you can do it again with someone else. That'll mean you'll double in size within the year. That'll mean the building will have to go up. That'll mean the city will have to get out the way. Amen. That'll mean some of you are going to have to get off your pocketbooks and your wallets. I thought I just mentioned that. Amen. I'm moving along. I get in trouble here. You know what he said over there in chapter 2 there, verse number 5. He said, when Jesus saw what? Their faith. Saw what? Their faith. Saw what? Their faith. Woo! Who was he speaking about? It wasn't that palsied man. It wasn't the multitude that had gathered around him, maybe curiosity or to be healed. The fact is, he saw those four men and he saw their faith. Now, what was going on here? Here was four men working together as a team. Here was four men going to get Jesus, their friend, to Jesus. Now, if you allow me some liberty, I'd like to name these men. First of all, I would tell you the first man that I saw here was a man called Vision. We'll just call him Brother Vision. Okay? The Bible says that vision is the definition of vision is to mentally perceive the possibilities. Now grab that just for a minute. The wisest man on the earth, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, a man called Solomon, said this. He said, where there is no vision, the people perish. Folks, we've got to get the vision. And it's great to hand out 9,000 or 10,000 tracts. It's wonderful to hand out 6,000 or 7,000 tracts. But it's even greater to have a greater vision. Amen. And we've got to get that vision. I remember back in 1984, I was speaking to about 4 or 5 motorcycle people this week while I was there. They were here for the rodeo. They had a ministry of motorcycle guys for Christ. And they were out of Antioch Baptist Church up in North Louisiana. But I couldn't get them to come to church. They went to the rodeo instead. The testimony kind of dwindled in my side. Amen. And so anyhow, so I don't mind watching people get bucked off their horses and trampled by bulls. I said, I don't mind that. That's why a lot of people race NASCAR. You know, fights and killing and damage and chaos. I mean, sometimes that's full, like watching the Saints play. No, that's not that good. But anyhow, but the fact of the matter is, hey, let me tell you something this morning. Listen, we began to pray some crazy prayers when I got saved and called into ministry. I decided because I was a fisherman, I wanted to reach fishermen. So I began to pray about it. And one morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I got up and God gave me our insignia, you know, the cross with the hook and everything, and gave that to me and then showed me some things. And I began to pray prayers with many friends about doing some things. I'd like to have a bait company. That's known to get it behind our ministry and allow us to put our tracts in their bait. And that was in 1984. 50,000 tracts later, we got a phone call from a guy that has a bait company called Slam Dunk Lures. And guess what happened? I mean, just about, I guess about 10 years ago, this guy got saved. He said, I watched you for 20 years. He said, I've followed you for 20 years. He and I used to be fishing buddies. He was a good Catholic, went to church once a year where they needed not. Easter or Christmas. Amen. If you've already been for Easter and you just happen to be laying over for this week, I'll see you at Christmas. Amen. But he looked at me and he said, I watched you for 20 years. He said, it's real. I went to the fellow that led you to the Lord. I worked with him at Exxon. And he said, he led me to the Lord. And I have a fish bait company that I started. And the guy that won the National Bassmasters Classic, the guy in second place, used our bait, Slam Dunk Lures, and our jigs, and he won second place with it. He said, what can we do? I said, we could probably get a track to fit in it. So if you took this track and you fold it in half, you'll get it to easily fit in the package of the baits. So when they paid $3.89 for the bait, they got the gospel too. Amen. We have received many people writing back to us and telling us how they got saved. It was a vision, just a vision. We had a vision about doing some things. And what I'm telling you, you personally need a vision of what God will allow you to do this year. What God will let you finish out the year with. Do you have a vision of one person that you know that's lost to get saved? It might be you're the only one they'll listen to. But let me tell you about the second guy. His name's Faith. Now, Faith says, listen to me carefully. First of all, I want to tell you that vision says, I believe the job can be done. Don't you think you can fill the pews? Shake your head like this. Amen. At least one does, a pastor. Amen. I believe the job can get done. But faith is this. I believe the job can get done through me. Through me. Not through them. Through me. Through you. Through you. Through you. Every one of us can get the job done because of faith. When's the last time you stretched your faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When's the last time you did that? The Bible says the just shall live by what? Faith. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. So all you've got to do is have faith. How many people say, I got faith? About 20 of you. How many say, I got a lot of faith? Amen. Y'all need to come to the altar as soon as the altar opens up. How many say, I got a little faith? Well, you're probably more right than anyone else, amen? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you had faith of a mustard seed, you could say unto the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it would be done. How many have cast any mountains in the sea lately? No hands. Amen. You know what a mustard seed looks like? It's not that little yellow thing and that little bowl that you hang around your neck or wearing a bracelet, fellas. It's right here. You see it? Anybody see it? You can see it. It's the size of a leaded pencil point. I'm going to leave it up here and you can see how much faith you really have. All you need is that much faith to get that tree to be cast in, or that mountain to be cast into the sea. That's all you need to get someone sitting next to you next Sunday that you led to the Lord through the week. That's all you need is faith. Listen, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let me go on and tell you about the third man. The third man mentioned here is Brother Determination. Now, what does that mean? What it means is, I will not give up. I will not quit. I like war movies. I've seen every one of John Wayne's war movies. I'm a John Wayne person. I'm glad he got saved before he died. I believe him and Robert E. Lee will be coming on white horses down here to take care of the situation for us. Amen. I, by the way, want to ride with him. Amen. But you say, well, Brother Bond, that's crazy. I know, but I'm a crazy person. But I'm going to tell you something. Determination. Paul had determination. Paul said this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, if you're laboring outside of the Lord, you're doing it in vanity. In an emptiness. But if you labor in the... Listen, some of you all went out there yesterday and the very best you could do was stick a track behind a windshield wiper and run. Say amen. Okay, that's the very best you can do. But wait a minute, you were a successful soul winner yesterday. What made you a successful soul winner yesterday? You showed up. Those that didn't show up, you did not succeed in being a soul winner. You cannot be a soul winner unless you show up. I'm reminded of a preacher friend of mine. He had this one little lady, and she was a lawyer. And she got involved in their, quote, soul winning program, their track outreach, amen. And she didn't, and people would come in, and they'd meet after they got out soul winning, and they'd say, how wonderful stories of people gotten saved, you know, and things happening. And I mean, it was exciting for everybody, you know, except for that little lawyer lady. She was upset. She said, it just doesn't seem like it works. And the preacher said, all you've got to do is show up. All we've got to do is get the mail out. If you get the mail out, by the way, it's not up to you to read the mail. It's not up to you to make a decision. It's up to you to get the mail out. And when you get the mail out, then God begins to work and God begins to grow that seed. God begins to water that seed. And then God brings forth fruit. And you're successful. 4 years she did that. But one Thursday night, she came in. So I got to be first. I got to tell everybody. I won my first soul to the Lord. She was determined not to quit. And you've got to be determined not to quit, friend. Listen, this church has plenty of empty pews. And if there's not enough empty pews, we'll stick those choir members back here. And by the way, if it's more than that, we'll add to the choir, whether they like it or not. We'll open those walls back there. And we'll fill it up. We can get 2 rows of chairs through here. 1 row here. 1 row. That's 4 rows of chairs. We can get another pew here. We can get another pew back there. You say, what's happening? I mean, listen, when you're filled up, it's time to build. But you can't build until you get filled up. You need to get busy. And you need to be determined to get the job done for the Lord. Amen. I want to tell you something. I prayed back in 1984. About having a tournament. And I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I said, good night, that's a lot of work. Takes a lot of money. I don't have it. And I can't do it all. And I still can't do it all. Still don't have... We start out every year that we do a tournament. This will be our 15th year. With nothing. And Miss Jean knows that. We start out with nothing. We have to call the wildlife and fisheries. We have to get a date set up. Listen, we not only that, but we got to figure out who will help us, who won't help us. And we try to get the pastors encouraged to help us because it's a soul winning event. And you know what? We've had them in Arkansas. We've had them in Tennessee. We've had them in Georgia. We've had them in Mississippi. We've had 15 of them here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I'm talking about we're having tournament. That was just a prayer back in 1984. But we were determined to do the will of God and to have those tournaments. You would not believe how many people are sitting in Baptist churches this morning that got saved at the tournament. And were followed up by the pastor and brought them into the church and got them baptized. Listen, I was over there in a church over in Gonzales and this lady came up to me and said, "Do you remember me?" I want you to know something. I don't remember you. When you're within 50 to 100,000 people a year, it's hard to remember everybody. I do remember you mostly because I'm involved with you. I pray for you. I love your pastor. He's a great preacher. And I might not have said that. You don't believe that, do you? But anyhow, I really have a good time here. And you're part of my immediate family. And it's amazing. I don't remember a whole lot of people. Say, "You remember me?" I said, "No, ma'am, I don't." "So how about my father? He's 63 years old. Do you remember him?" I said, "No, ma'am, I don't." And he says, "He's waiting for you to get here. He wanted to come see you, shake your hand." He came over there and said, "I thank you so much for being a part of my life." And I'm thinking, "I was?" And he said, "I went to a tournament. My daughter invited me. I got saved. And the preacher came by to see me. And I followed up and believed his baptism. Now I'm one of the deacons here in this church." Amen. You just don't know what you can do when you're determined to get the job done. Amen. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. I'll tell you the fourth man's name. And without this man, everything you do will be vanity. Without this person, all is lost. Without this person, the city of Zachary will never be right. It'll never be won. You say, "Who is this man?" His name's Compassion. You're going to have a whole lot of compassion. You know there's alcoholics out there? There's drug addicts out there. There's prostitutes out there. There are wayward teens out there. There are people that you really don't want in your church. I remember when I pastored in Slidell, one of the ladies said, "Brother Bond, you got to stop it." I said, "Miss Stevens, why?" I can say her name now because she's passed. Okay? I said, "Miss Stevens, why?" And she said, "You just can't build a junk on prostitutes and alcoholics." We're doing pretty good. Went up to 153 of them. Amen. You say, "Well, we don't want that kind of people." Well, who do you think Jesus went to? He didn't go to the rich. He went to the down and outer. That's what you are. The down and outers. There's no one perfect here. There's no one wonderful here. Listen, what makes you good is who you got inside of you. And you got to have compassion on people. You got to work your way up to the drunkard and pass that breath test. You got to pass it. Woo! Amen. Without getting inebriated. You got to hand him a piece of paper and say, "Jesus loves you and so do I." And you got to mean it. Jesus looked on the multitude with compassion. I mean, he felt pity for them. He felt in sympathy for them. What do we do when we go outside that door? Well, you know, they're not like us. Hey, us, there'll be more than us in heaven. Amen. And you know what? The last time I looked in the lineage of Christ, there were alcoholics and prostitutes in His lineage. Murderers too. Oh no, Brother Bond, not that. I'll never forget, I was preaching one day. My two deacons and their wives always sat in the front because they took on everybody that came down the aisle so I wouldn't have to, you know. And they came in. The folks came in over there and this guy came in, a young teenager sat over there about third row from the end, and he was sitting there and he was skinhead. Black t-shirt, black pants. I knew it was trouble. I told my deacon, said, "Watch that boy." He didn't do anything, didn't start anything. Got through preaching, everybody left except my deacons, their wives and my wife. We were sitting up there talking and here comes that young man down here. And he said, "Preacher, I got one question. Can God save a murderer?" I said, well, goodness, son. I said, why don't we go out over there and see if we can find a guy named David, you know, the sweet psalmist of Israel, and see if he was saved. You understand he was a murderer. You understand he was a mass murderer. Bundy didn't have anything on him. Yet God said that he had his own heart. Amazing thing. A murderer getting... Oh. I said, and then we got to find the guy that wrote most of the New Testament. You know, Paul. They used to call him Saul of Tarsus. I said, that man brought many people who professed the name of Christ to the dungeons and to the burning poles. That man was a murderer. I said, you think they're safe? He said, well, I guess. I said, why do you ask? He said, well, I got in a fight in a bar room. I killed a man. And I just got out of jail, been in jail 10 years for it. And he said, I want to get saved. And God saved me. And he came to church every time the doors were open, man. And he started telling people about Jesus. What are you saying? Having compassion. There's no one too low that you can't reach. But for the grace of God, there you go also. You've got to have compassion. You see, when you have compassion, when you sympathize, you take people where they are. And you let God bring them along. I don't want to ever be in a church where you have a dictator pastor. A pastor is here for service and to minister, not to be served and waited on. Amen, Brother Bond. A pastor is here to be a servant of a church, and the church is to be a servant of the Lord. And those people need some servants out there. And they don't need any uppity-uppities. There's too many uppity-uppities. And when you look at yourself and you realize what pit you were dug from, you'll realize that you're not supposed to be an uppity-uppity. Amen? What am I saying? You've got to have compassion on people. It will make a difference. The Bible says it will. Those having compassion, making a difference, showing pity on others. Listen, showing others how to be saved, sharing with them the thoughts of heaven and how they can obtain it. You understand mercy begets mercy, and compassion begets compassion. And there's no one outside these doors that don't need mercy. And you've already received it. You say, Brother Barnum, what are you saying? Well, I'm going to make it easy for you. Handing out these tracts, oh, I'm telling you, that is, one guy asked me, he said, here you are staying in a hotel, and I'm crazy, okay? You don't have to be as crazy as that. He said, here you are staying in a hotel, and he said, but you got your church address right here on the back of the tract. It's your church. He said, I see your name, but you live here? I said, no, I live in Purvis, Mississippi. So why do you do that? I said, because if I win them here, I want them to go here. And they don't have to make that 3-hour run over there. All they got to do is walk in the doors here. Amen. And he said, boy, that's most amazing. He said, what are you? I said, I'm an evangelist. He said, well, I thought you were the pastor. I said, no, sir. I said, God saved me from that a long time ago. Amen. And I found out if you don't have any people, you make a great pastor. Think that one out in a minute. So what am I saying to you this morning? Very simple. If you're not saved, get saved. And when's the last time you were filled with the Spirit of God? When did you have that love inside of you, that joy and that peace inside of you? When do you allow the Holy Spirit of God to stretch out by faith in you and use you to accomplish the cause of Christ? You need to get filled with the Spirit of God. Then you need to get busy. Good night. You know, God can use a crooked stick to draw a straight line. God can use you if you allow Him to do so. You see, you've got to see the possibilities of having a vision. Your pastor has a vision. I'm looking over there and I'm seeing the Grace Baptist Church of New Rose, Louisiana. It's a vision. Well, you ought to get a hold of that vision. I mean, he's already got his mind running and trying to figure out ideas of how to get the people in New Rhodes involved in Christ and involved in a good, solid work of a Grace Baptist Church in New Rhodes. You men ought to get behind him. You ought to get the vision with him. And you may, listen, you need to have faith that God can do that, because God can do anything. And you need to determine never, ever quit. A coward quits. I like when Bear Bryant went to see these high school boys playing, and he said, "Now you got to watch this. This is a fullback, man. He's dynamite. Watch him, watch him." And he'd go through that line, and he'd knock. A guy would come up, a linebacker came up and hit him, and he ran right through that linebacker, stiff armed him, you know. And then he went on a little bit further, and that linebacker got up, and he went over and hit him again. This time he just kind of rolled over him, kind of kneed him, and went. And just before he got to the goal line, that linebacker had gotten up and went over and made the tackle and stopped him from making the goal line. They had a goal line stance, and Alabama came that close to losing the game. I know it's hard to believe that. When they said, "What do you think about a fullback?" He said, "I'm not interested in him. I'm interested in that guy that kept knocking down and he kept on getting up. I want him on my team." Hey, that's what God wants on His team. So you get knocked down. So you have some problems. So you don't agree with everything that's going on. Get back up. The battle is raging. There's enough people hauling out to the back end and trying to hide. The battle is raging. Get to the front line and do what you can, because that is how you reach Zachary, Louisiana. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Now, you're here this morning, and maybe you don't understand all that was said, but you want to be honest this morning. I want to ask you a couple of questions, and all I want you to do is be honest this morning. Number one, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure that heaven would be your home? Not hope so, think so, but know so. If you're only 99% sure that heaven would be your home, you're not going to heaven, friend. Salvation is a know-so thing. Salvation is something that you have to know that you possess through Christ Jesus and Him alone. You say, "Brother Bond, I don't know. I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven." Now, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to include you in our final prayer. I will not point you out. I will not come to you. I will not embarrass you in any way. But I'd like the privilege to pray for you. You say, "Brother Bond, I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven." Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Would you just slip your hand up, put it right back down, boom, boom, real quick. On one side, I'm not saved. I just don't know it. I'm not sure of it. Here's my hand. Would you slip it up, put it right back down? Okay. Then let me ask you this question. "Brother Bond, I'm 100% sure I'm saved, but I'm not serving like I should. And I know I'm not. And I want you to include me in your final prayer." Would you slip your hand up quickly, put it right back down? Hands going up everywhere. Hey, you can get that taken care of today. When the altar's time comes, you come down this old-fashioned altar, you get on your knees, and you say, "God, I've been a booger, and I'm not doing what I should or I could. And I want to do more. Please forgive me for my failure and help me to do that which is pleasing in your sight." That'll take care of that problem for you just like that. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, I don't know who may be saved or lost here all the time. But Lord God, You know who's saved and who's lost. And I pray for that lost person who may not have raised their hands, but in their heart they know. I pray that they come down this aisle, let someone take a Bible, show them how to go to heaven. And then, Father, for that person that's saved, that has a desire to do more and know they could do more, but they've backed off on You somewhat, I pray that they would come down this aisle. And Lord God, they would ask You for a burden for the people of their community, their family, and their friends. And Lord God, that You would begin a work in the hearts of the people of Grace Baptist Church that's never taken place here before like that. And Father, may they get on the expire for You, and may they explode on the city of Zachary. And may they make the difference. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.